Joining us today on Medical Progress Today's Innovative Ideas podcast is Edmund J. McMahon, the research director of the Empire Center for New York State Policy and a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. EJ, thanks very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
EJ, you had what I thought was a terrific blog post last week. It was really almost an op-ed on something I think not a lot of people are aware of. There is a $5 billion fund, I won't call it a slush fund, although it could be a slush fund, in the Accountable Care Act, that was the healthcare reform passed by Congress back in March, that contains $5 billion to reinsure healthcare claims for early retirees. Now, Secretary Sebelius, the Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, has said that this is really aimed at private employers, but that's really not the truth of the majority of firms or authorities that are going to be applying for money from this fund. Is that right?
Yes. In fact, Secretary Sebelius and other people in the Obama administration haven't actually made it clear what the fund is intended to do or why it was created, but it's more a matter of spin, so that every time they talk about it, when they put out a press release, they talk primarily about private employers. So recently, Secretary Sebelius announced that chose the last week of summer to announce that 2,000 employers throughout the country had applied for a piece of this $5 billion early retiree reinsurance program. Now, the way it works, by the way, is that they've put aside a pot of $5 billion to last for 2 years, supposedly, that is supposed to subsidize any employer-sponsored health insurance for retirees who haven't yet reached the Medicare eligibility age of 65. Specifically, the pot of money is supposed to reimburse 80% of claim costs between $15,000 and $90,000 for early retirees. Now, in fact, a very small number of private employers still provide insurance to early retirees. The number has dwindled from roughly two-thirds to less than 30% in the last 15 years, according to the survey. If you look at the Secretary's press release and, in fact, the resulting news coverage, the focus was on Fortune 500 firms, the ones that still offer retiree health benefits, and how they had applied for this money. In fact, the press release even included a guest quote from the Commerce Secretary, who talked about how business concerns about rising health costs are something he hears a lot about. And so the newspaper stories, for instance, focused on General Motors and General Electric and Pfizer and said that they were among those applying for these benefits. In fact, the main source of retiree health care benefits in the United States for early retirees today overwhelmingly consists of state and local governments. And you would hardly even know that from reading the way they wrote about it, but it's likely that state and local governments will soak up most of this pot.
As you point out in your article, 81% of state and local governments offer early retiree health care benefits, as opposed to, as you said, about 30% of private firms. So there's a huge disjunction between the pool or potential pool of applicants for this program and the way that the administration framed how the program was going to operate.
That's right. And there's also considerable reason to doubt that they can even pull this off or that their money will even go that far. For instance, of the thousands of firms, and not really firms, but employers, including government employers, who were announced as having applied for this money all over the country, one New York public employer alone, which is the New York State Health Insurance Plan, which insures state government employees and many but not all local government employees, was the one employer in the country that actually disclosed how much it expected to be claiming under this program. And the number they cited was $346 million. Well, do the math on that. That's basically 7% of the entire fund for the entire country is going to be claimed by one government health insurer in New York State. And by the way, there's another very large government insurer in New York State, New York City, which I've confirmed has indeed applied under the program, although it was not on the list. And they surely would eat up another big chunk of the money. So it's highly doubtful to me that they're even going to be able to cover the claims they're likely to receive under this program.
And this is in particular because, as you point out in your blog also, government retiree costs tend to be particularly expensive because there are a couple of categories of early retirees, for instance, cops and firefighters, that could be retired for decades before they're eligible for Medicare that could rack up quite a few costs.
Exactly. The typical police officer or firefighter in the United States has a retirement plan under which they retire in their mid-40s. and remain on the employer health risk insurance plan, usually with their entire family, for as much as 20 years or more before they reach Medicare age. In many places, for instance, New York City, the largest local government employer in the country by far, they pay nothing. They make no contribution to the plan on their own. The employer picks up 100% of the premium, and so you have literally tens of thousands of ex-police and firefighters still in the prime of life, many with young families, who have free employer-provided health insurance under this early retiree program that the city has. And that's the type of people whose claims within a certain range will now be picked up temporarily for 2 years by this federal program.
And you put out very interesting in your blog, out of the 156 New York employers who are applying for subsidies, close to 100 were either government entities or private sector unions. Only 33 firms were actually for-profit businesses, including IBM and Kodak.
Right.
What are the implications of this for the New York State budget? Is this free money?
Well, of course, ultimately, there's no such thing as free money, especially if you're New York, since you pay a disproportionate share of the federal taxes anyway. It's basically government money out of a different tax pocket. From the standpoint of the state budget, I'm sure someone in the state budget office ultimately sees this as adding up to a little bit of free money. But even if they put in a claim for $346 million over 2 years and actually are awarded that much money, the provisions of the Obamacare plan don't allow the state or local governments to actually take the whole savings and share it with taxpayers. They have to share it with the entire premium base of the plan, everybody in the plan, including active employees and Medicare-eligible retirees. All of them get a share of the savings. So what happens is I estimate that if, for instance, if the New York State Health Insurance Plan gets the $346 million they say they'll claim, this will result in a roughly 3% across-the-board reduction in plan-wide premiums that are projected to be rising during the same period by 16%. So in other words, at best, what this will mean is that over a two-year period, this plan will experience a premium increase of 13% instead of 16%, courtesy of the federal taxpayers.
And then that money goes away, and so you're left.
And then it goes away, although there's this provocative remark, very curious way of phrasing in the federal HHS press release that is very intriguing. Basically, the press release says that the reinsurance fund was, and I'm quoting now, created as a bridge to the new health insurance exchanges in 2014, which is a reference to those federally subsidized plans that are being created under the law. So the question this kind of leaves hanging out there, as I mentioned at the end of my blog, is are they implicitly inviting state and local governments to dump their unfunded retiree health care liabilities into the federal government's lap? We don't know.
That is an outstanding question. I think the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, when they were analyzing the number of people who would enter into the exchanges, it was a relatively low number in the millions of people who would be dropped out of coverage by their employers and then go into the exchanges. But this could potentially be an enormous new federal liability. You estimate there's $1.5 billion in unfunded retiree health care liabilities out there that could then become federal taxpayers' problem.
That's right. Well, actually, it's $1.5 trillion.
I'm sorry.
And the share of that represented by early retiree large claims surely is hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And again, if you put the whole liability in the Fed's lap, it's you know, between $1 trillion and $1.5 trillion. Of course, we now live in an era where $1 trillion is just another trillion. But surely a trillion here and a trillion there adds up to real money.
And that's a sobering, somewhat frightening note to end on, but perhaps one of the biggest questions out there. What is this small fund, $5 billion, sitting out there? What's it intended to do? Because there's obviously, as you point out, $1 trillion or more worth of unfunded early retiree liabilities out there, and states and localities are going to be very eager to dump that somewhere, perhaps in the Fed's lap. EJ, thanks very much for your time.
You're welcome.